Welcome. You are listening to the Better Together podcast with Callie and Rosario Picardo. We take on topics involving marriage, ministry, parenting, communication, relationships, and other subjects that our listeners want to hear more about.
Welcome to the Better Together podcast. I am your co-host, Rosario Picardo.
And I am Callie Picardo. And we are here today with our friend, Jacob Armstrong. Jacob is a pastor and church planter, which, you know, we always love because Roz likes to start crazy churches as well for people. And God put it on Jacob and his wife Rachel's heart back in 2008 to start Providence Church down in Mount Juliet in Tennessee. And it was a church where they were hoping to reach people who felt disconnected from God and where the church could help them find hope, healing, and wholeness in Jesus. And oh my goodness, the church has since become one of the 100 fastest growing churches in the nation for the last 3 years and doing incredible ministry. And then Jacob has been teaching and preaching and speaking and writing incredible books. So I might be a little biased, but I think his biggest accomplishment is he's raising 3 girls, which we're trying to as well, but he's a little further ahead of us. So we're excited to have you here, Jacob, to learn from some of your wisdom.
Callie, Roz, thank you so much. I mean, I've been excited to be with y'all. We want your listeners to know I just adore y'all and appreciate your friendship and support. And yeah, let's get going, man. I've been pumped to talk with you.
That's awesome. So what is the name of your book? Let's start with that. And where did that kind of originate from?
Yeah, the name of the new book is called Breaking Open. And the whole idea is that we all face breaking points in our lives and even moments where we feel like we're breaking down. And my experience just being a follower of Jesus is that breaking is natural and good and a part of the journey. And so the book is an exploration of what's a different way to experience that, to break open towards God and to break open on that path. So it's just a little twist on that phrase and something that I think is really important right now and a lot of folks are facing. Yeah.
Jacob, in your book, you say breakdowns are part of life, not necessarily something to be avoided, which I read that and I was like, okay, I think I agree with that, but I don't think I like that. Jacob, do we have to go through breakdowns? I mean, why is this part of life? And can't I avoid it, please?
No, yeah, I get it. I feel the same way. When I was a kid, my dad introduced me to Paul Simon. He has an amazing album called Graceland. I think it's the best album of all time. And in that, he has a song. He says, breakdowns come and breakdowns go. What are you going to do about it? That's what I'd like to know. And I think that that's kind of the thing that I'm putting out there. It's like, yes, this is a part of life. And we see so many of our heroes of the faith, and especially biblical characters that I think had absolute breakdowns. And the way that I want to frame that, and they frame that is not a breakdown that keeps them down, but something where they actually leads to a new openness in life, an openness towards the Spirit, an openness towards God. Like Nehemiah, right? He encounters this conversation where he learns about the condition of Jerusalem. And it says that for some days he was on the ground crying, praying, and fasting. So if you saw me doing that, I think you'd be like, that dude's having a breakdown, right? And it leads to beauty and restoration and the rebuilding of a city and a rebuilding of people. So that's what my hope that people would dream alongside of that as they're going through the suffering and the brokenness. What is God doing on the other side of it?
That's awesome. Well, how do we live in a breakdown, would you say?
Yeah, well, I don't want to make it too spiritual, right? Sometimes life is just breaking us down. And I think this book is not a post-COVID book or anything like that. I wrote it before, you know, the pandemic happened. But I think, you know, much of the exhaustion and just emotional distress and fatigue coming out of all that we've experienced the last couple of years, I think many people would say, man, I am breaking, you know, I'm at the, I know my folks, I pastor a local church and there's still just a sense of like, I'm barely hanging on. You know, I'm trying to hold this together. The margin is really small. So I think in that breaking, the first step that I have experienced is trying to find some space in your life where you can feel again, where you can let some of those emotions out and have a real encounter with God. So I think the second chapter of the book, I talk about how what we're really looking for in life is space, not pace. You know, I think a lot of us have just been picking up the pace again. Okay, here we go. Or thinking I need to slow down the pace. Well, the pace changes in life, you know, depending on what's going on. But to explore what it would mean to create space where you could actually feel the feelings, grieve the griefs, I think that's the first kind of step in it is finding some space in that.
You know, I think
you've done that in your own life.
Yeah. Well, I was, as you said, like a church planter. And so I was going fast and I was really excited about our church and my life. But as the space got squeezed out and my margin got less and less, that's when I began to experience some of my own breaking points, some that were physical, some that were, related to losses that I didn't really grieve. I talk about that some in the book, some things, some people that I lost, you know, and just kind of kept going. And in the keeping going and raising three girls and pastoring a church and all that, I was forced by some, you know, by some crises to create that kind of space. So, you know, things like for me included Sabbath in my own life, intentionality, with my family. I talk about in the book how we changed our vacation pattern where everybody around here just goes to the beach, right? You guys should know this. You take your three girls to the beach, you are going to be exhausted. It's like, you know, yes. taking people to war every day is taking three girls to the beach, you know, packing all stuff up. So anyways, we just changed our pattern of vacation. Went to this random lake, this place that was out of nowhere, no Wi-Fi. And we did that for years, creating that has now created this space for these beautiful memories that have taken place because we broke that cycle a bit, which going to the beach is awesome, right? I'm not saying that, but it's like to look at your life and say, I do have control over some things where I can create some moments and some space. You know?
That's awesome.
Abraham Heschel talks about, you know, in his great book, Sabbath, he says, that it's actually the moments that are holy. We want to ascribe holiness so much to places. Actually one of the first thing that God calls holy, right, is time, is this moment, this Sabbath moment. So understanding kind of the order of that for me was important. It's not just always about getting to this place and doing that thing, but what's happening. That's what I'm talking about with space. It's time, it's moments created with God.
I think you named something too in there, you know, how it's looked with having three kids.
Yeah.
And it, different seasons of life, finding that space probably looks different. You know, when yes. you've got kids that you're trying to raise, how do you create space when kids are on devices and gadgets and you're trying yeah. to bring them back together? Well, oh, it just so happens we don't have Wi-Fi where we're going. You're forced to be with your family. It's yeah. time.
Yeah, for sure. It reminds me, Callie, when I had a newborn, so this is going back a long time, a pastor is actually a co-pastor with me here now at Providence. I was complaining to him about, like, I can't get my time with God in the morning, reading the Bible. There's always a baby crying. And he was like, maybe that baby crying is the thing that you're supposed to engage, you know, in the way to connect with God. I never thought about it like that. So you're right. I'm in a stage now. I have three girls. One's almost a teenager and the other two are teenagers. It's the busiest time that we've ever had. My wife Rachel also reminds me it's like the most expensive time we've ever had. Yeah. And so that looks totally different. I'm not taking you know, month-long sabbaticals every year. I'm engaging in their life, right? And trying to find the space and the holy spaces in that with them.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that you went through you know, as a result of just years of hard work, was kind of going through some burnout you mentioned to before. And so you want to say a little bit about that kind of with this book and kind of the culmination of it.
Yeah, it's really wild. Thanks for asking, Roz. The day I was turning in the manuscript for this book, I got stung by a wasp, which led to a health health event, but really our understanding, my family's understanding, even our church's understanding of me being really sick for a while and having to be home was because I had no space left. You know, I had no margin left. So if someone listening to this reads the book, I would want you to know that I have lived this book, you know, and lived the experience of God leading me to a more spacious place. So there's some beautiful lines in the scripture. They're repeated in different places where David says, God rescued me and placed me in a spacious place because he delighted in me. And so some of my own burnout, Roz, led me to go throughout the whole Bible and begin to look for where is God creating spacious places for burned out people? And what does that look like? And it turns out, like we were talking about, you know, many of our favorite biblical characters have had these burnout moments, these breakdowns that led to the beautiful things that we know about. But it's because there was a God who was pursuing them and pursuing us, a God who just wanted to delight. Like we were just talking about, Callie, like just like we want to delight in our girls. God's looking to delight in us. God's creating those spaces for us. So, I think the picture of the garden in the beginning of the Bible, and then the garden where Jesus encounters Mary, that is the space on the other side of grief, the space on the other side of a breakdown. She's crying, right? Through her tears, she can't even recognize Jesus, but he has in another garden created this beautiful encounter for her. And she's unleashed to be this first gospel proclaimer and this resurrection preacher, and who knows how else God used her. You know, that's how I want God to use me.
Yeah. What are some changes you've made as a result of just that time of being sick and kind of now months later, you know, what are some changes?
Yeah. I made a lot, but, you know, one in particular is just like we were talking earlier as friends, you know, just being somebody who would be willing to share my heart and share my my broken places. I think a vulnerability in that is something that I needed to grow into. That's a more authentic version of who God is calling me to be, to not have to think I have it together or look like I have it together. Because the reality for me is I'm at the very real limits of my humanity. You know, I came right up against them and fell on the ground. And so I live on the other side of that now with a different kind of freedom and energy that's not as based as much on what I'm doing, but just on who I am in Christ, and then who I can be in connecting, like we're talking with you guys, just being friends and connecting. So I'm seeking to be more open, you know, more vulnerable, as I said. And in the book, I talk about how I think the breaking open experience is more about vulnerability than capability. And so we all have great capabilities, but we all have limitations with our capability. And so more beautiful things have happened to me in a vulnerable life than trying to be super capable all the time. And so that's translated even to how I preach and how I lead. You know, I lead a staff here at the church, and I talked to them about that. I'm like, you guys are amazing. You're gifted in what you do, but being a part of this team and the mission that we're on is not all about your capabilities. Your capabilities will have limits. You'll make mistakes. You'll fail. And that's not going to be a failure that is indicative of who you are even. But I am calling them, as I'm calling myself, to say, but I need you to be for real. You know, I need you to be for real about what we're doing. So
how have you seen that transition into life with your family? Like, I mean, when we change, it impacts the people around us, especially those closest to us. I mean, are they like, wow, you're a different person? Or are they just kind of like, eh, dad?
Yeah, they're probably just like, that's dad. But I will say, I talk in the book about crying some. I cry a lot more than I used to, you know? And I think that's being more real about my emotions. I begin the book with talking about how our first breath was a cry. And I'd never really thought about that, you know, that the first breath that we take is a cry. And if we don't cry, there's somebody there hoping that we will cry and help us cry. Mm-hmm. But what I found in my life is this emphasis on breathing remains, right? You want to be somebody that's breathing, but there's not as much talk about crying and what that cry could really mean for your life. And so whether it's like an actual like crying like a baby, or actually just the cry of your heart, I think that that's been a change for me in being a bit more authentic in my emotions and letting those cries out a bit more. When I was a kid, I had asthma, and my mom would tell me this story of, and so I had to be hospitalized just as like an infant. But she said that after I was better and back home, I would still like make that gasp because it got her to come into the room. So, I mean, I actually wasn't struggling to breathe. I was just, you know, pretending. And so it just reminded me of this kind of heart call that we're longing for God to come and meet us in those scary, you know, places. And it's okay to let out whatever noise or emotion that is for God to come and encounter us. So I'm seeking to have just more real encounters with God. And then the biggest difference, I think, for me, Callie, is gratitude. So just being grateful and living into that gratitude.
I remember the first Sunday I got to go back to church after we had COVID this fall. I was like weeping tears of joy just being able to go to church. I was like, I've missed the body of Christ. And oh my goodness, I'm excited to be outside of my house too.
Yes.
And the people that cared for me. I mean, I think when whatever level of hard, I mean, they're just, we always have something hard in our lives. And it just varies on that scale of what extreme, but after each moment, I think that mindfulness of, I'm not going to take this for granted today. I didn't get to do this because of what was going on, or I'm missing this piece. And I'm going to go ahead and name that I missed this because I don't have this anymore. That grief, that longing, that cry, that desire. I mean, that's what makes us human and helps us connect with God and who God made us to be.
Yeah. Well, are we on to our final question, Cal, or one of them?
Sure. You want to ask about how we can be better together?
Yeah. So since this is the Better Together podcast, we like to ask our guests how we can be better together, and how can this work of breaking open help us be better together? Or how can we come alongside someone going through a breakdown and help them break open instead?
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. You know, all that we're talking about, none of it is done in isolation, right? And I think I'm somebody in my own journey that's had, I used to call it a struggle with anxiety. Now I just kind of call it a journey with anxiety. And what a lot of times those expressions of anxiety, however yours expresses itself, most of the time there is an isolating component to it, you know, where you're getting yourself in a place where you're away from others. So I think that the breaking open experience is never done in isolation. We're better together. I share in the first part of the book about kind of the first key loss in my life of a young guy who was a part of my life who committed suicide. And my breaking open moment in that came when, after a season of retreat, I spent some time with my older brother who, just his companionship on that journey, and his gentle creating some space for me to encounter and look at my own feelings. That was how I came to a place of not break. I thought I was having my first great breakdown. You know, I thought I was done with ministry. I'd lost this young kid who I'd been counseling and working with, which is what I'd given my life to do, you know, at that point. And then, so on the other side of that, it was other people being with them, clearly, without a doubt, that were Jesus, you know, with flesh on for me, that walked through that time.
That's beautiful. Well, that's our hope, is that we can have people in our lives like that, that can walk alongside us through the hardships, through the hard moments, through those breakdown points, or breakdown seasons, and then that we can be those for others. And so, Jacob, thanks for joining us today.
What a treat. Thank you.
This book, I think, is going to be incredible. The name of it again is Breaking Open, How Your Pain Becomes the Path to Living Again. Jacob, if people are hearing this and are wondering how they can get a copy of this book, how do they find it?
Yeah, easiest way is, you know, just going to where major booksellers are, you know, whether that's Amazon.com or Books A Million or whatever, you can find it there. But there is a website, breakingopenbook.com, breakingopenbook.com. And if you go there, the cool thing about that is there's some special things on that website where if you were to order the book, there's a devotional that you can get, a journal that goes with you on this journey. So if you just want to pick up the book, I just go to Amazon or something like that. But if you want to, you know, dig a little deeper, check out breakingopenbook.com.
That's awesome. Well, Jacob, thank you for creating this resource. We are praying that it's going to be a blessing to so many that are on this journey and are just looking for those handholds they need to move from a point where they're feeling defeated to a point where they're feeling like that God is able to use them again, that they are moving from breaking down to breaking open.
Thanks, so Callie. Thanks, Roz. I really enjoyed the time together.
Absolutely. So, friends, if you were inspired by Jacob's words, we just ask that you would share this, whether it is Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or the 50,000 other ways you can listen to a podcast. We know that it'll be a blessing. So remember, until next time, we are better together. God bless.